Senator lists his ix, and TikTok is number one. FBI affecting the economy of ransomware, and Canalys looks into its crystal ball. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit MSPGeekCon.com for more information.
Good morning again, and welcome to the January 31st episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother. How are you doing? You're not on mute. You're in the yellow. You sound amazing. You don't have a green screen. You have a natural, beautiful background.
Thank you, my brother. If you want to know why I'm saying good morning again, you'll have to check the bloopers. the ones who watch this normally probably already have it figured out pretty well. So Tony, I'm going to give you three things, and I want to see if you can tell me what's the common thread in these three. Yeah, Microsoft, GitHub, and OpenAI. Any idea how they're involved?
Elon Musk owns them all now.
Don't give him ideas, please. So the three are involved in a potential class action or proposed class action lawsuit. GitHub launched its Copilot service in 2021. That's their code when you're working your IDE, like Visual Studio Code, Visual Studio, whatever it is. It's recommending lines of code or even function blocks for you, right? And which is all really cool. But since it started, there have been people hemming and hawing saying it's using open source software and open source repositories as the basis for these recommendations and for its learning. And that's exactly what this lawsuit is. It's saying that these three have violated copyright laws. Now there's nobody actually saying they took my code. It's this Matthew Butterick and Joseph Saveri Law suing on behalf of the potentially aggrieved parties, but it's a lawsuit nonetheless. And it should be noted, they're also suing Midjourney over a very similar argument of using copyrighted images to create the new images.
I'm confused here. So are you saying that the AI, as in ChatGPT, is taking code that someone else, that's what they're saying?
Right. They're saying, okay, so the basis, so ChatGPT specifically has learned all of the internet all the way up through 2021. I think it's like April 2021 or something like that. And for Copilot, which uses OpenAI or ChatGPT to figure out code and make recommendations, it's coming from the internet, from open source repositories. That was the learning model. That is what we all accept. Many open source licenses, and don't get me started on GNU and GPL, because I don't know the intricacies of each one, but whatchamacallit, most of those open source licenses require that if you use their code, you contribute back to the repo or the project, or you give attribution. So it's not like this is completely foundless. Now, this guy sounds like he's just suing anybody and everybody, you know, East Texas style. But, you know, but at the same time, the argument sounds legitimate, even though there's no actual offended parties yet.
Is ChatGPT just the mechanism to transition the code and distributing accordingly? I mean, that is it analogous to saying, hey, your internet provider didn't give us accolades for transmitting or transporting this GNU code over to you, but that other ISP did? I'm just trying to figure out, like, where's the line?
Yeah, and honestly, this is my favorite part of this AI stuff. It's the ethics. Right. It's the ethics conversation. It's beyond what can we use it for. Now it's should we use it and what are the ramifications of such, just like the self-driving cars. And I love that. You know what else I love, Tony?
Tell me.
News.
Let's get into the news.
In my top story in the business section, Senator pushes TikTok government device ban enforcement, written by Ashley Gold for Axios. Congress passed a law on December 29th, 2022 that bans TikTok from government employees' work devices. The ban will take effect on February 27th. Still unknown is how the ban will be enforced. The Office of Management and Budget, OMB, is charged with carrying out the law. The law requires the OMB to develop standards for executive agencies to remove TikTok and any successor applications from government devices within 60 days. Senator Josh Hawley, representative of Missouri, wrote a letter to the director of the OMB making several demands, including, number one, produce any guidance OMB has circulated pursuant to the No TikTok on Government Devices Act. Two, provide in a classified setting if necessary an update on any intelligence, recommendations, or concerns provided to OMB by the Director of National Intelligence, the Director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or the Secretary of Defense that will inform the promulgation of the development of standards and guidelines required by the No TikTok on Government Devices Act, and also to confirm how OMB has incorporated or addressed any such items in any circulated guidance. And number three, provide a detailed description of how OMB is measuring government agencies in compliance with this law. The deadline for these demands are February 5th, 2023. A link to the full letter is listed in the show notes below. Tony, Chinese-backed, Chinese-run TikTok. They don't want it on their government devices because the CEO of TikTok has already confirmed that they have access to the user's data. So this absolutely makes sense until you get into the how. And it sounds like they had this really great idea, put this really tight deadline, and nobody had any clue of how it was going to get done. And as per usual, the government's just dragging its feet to see what happens. I mean, I was going to say December 29th to now, it's not enough time, but it's been a month. It's been a month at minimum. You could say we are going to be doing these things. So,
but where does it stop? Because let's be blunt about this. This is a personal device, and some employees, the concept of, you know, I'm not installing a Duo, Cisco Duo, or an MFA tool on my personal. You have to buy me a phone. Okay. And that's a big deal. So fine. So then you get these little, YubiKeys out there and that's great. And look at the, all of us are just like, look, I got like, pulling out from behind my ear. It's like right there. So where does it end? And you have, religious organizations saying that you cannot have, Grindr on your phone because that goes against, you know, the, like their sexuality clause or whatever it may be. But there's also, organizations out there, and you can do the research. You can't have Bumble or Tinder or, you know, these dating apps because they're hookup apps. They're not condoned or considered to be the true way of finding a relationship.
They're trying to find love.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. Hey, you know what? I'm just trying to watch these videos of the cats dancing. Come on.
That's all I want. Just more chats.
So where does it end? I'm really wondering because this could be a precedent for something much larger. Now, granted, everyone who's been watching the show knows I am not a fan of TikTok. I've known for years what's actually being transmitted on the back end and the breadth of access that they have is fascinatingly horrific to me. And that's one app I've just never installed on my phone. I want nothing to do with it. And it seems to be catching on, but government is government. So Ray, what are your thoughts on that? Am I overthinking it?
No, I don't think you are. I think, you know, the government could have used some extra thinking here. I think 90 days to enact something was way too far, or way too short. But at the same time, it's long enough to at least come up with a plan, right? And these are, look, they're not the personal devices. They're your business devices. These are government-issued devices. So at the same time, I don't think any MSP would have trouble saying, hey, these are your work devices. Only work things would be installed on there, right? So it's not overreaching, in my opinion. It's just a matter of bad planning. Now, what I want to know, previously there was guidance of not allowing Chinese or certain Chinese companies to create, for the government to purchase certain Chinese manufactured devices like networking gear, camera gear. We all know about that. And that did filter down to MSP. I know plenty of MSPs that follow those guidelines, even though they're not doing business with Gov, they're just taking those standards and applying it locally. Do you think this, because devices managed by the MSP, phones are in there, do you think this will trickle down to the MSP level? Unfortunately, we're at time for this story, but I want to know it in the chat. And if we get enough involvement either here on Discord, Tony and I might bring somebody on next episode to discuss it live on the show. Love the MSP, point of view, right? But speaking of point of view, we have our favorite three-letter agency affecting some economies at this point.
Yeah, hang in, everyone. It gets worse. Or does it? Straight from VentureBeat.com, the FBI has taken down the Hive network. The ransomware economy is being impacted. On January 26th, the FBI seized the Hive ransomware gang's dark web website as part of a coordinated law enforcement action. This appears to be just the start of a coordinated crackdown on Hive's criminal enterprise. While it is likely that Hive will resurface again, the removal of its website is a significant win for the FBI, particularly when considering that Hive has extorted over $100 million U.S. from more than 1,300 organizations globally. When considering that only a handful of threat actors like Hive, Black Basta, and Lockbit are responsible for a majority of the high-profile ransomware breaches, the FBI crackdown on Hive has the potential to significantly damage the ransomware-as-a-service, RAS, economy by hampering one of the most prolific groups. Ray, I hate to bring bad news like an economy being shut down by the FBI. What are your thoughts? And you're on mute.
It doesn't matter, but you got the excitement anyway. It came across.
It did. I don't even, that shouldn't even be a blooper. That was beautiful. He's like, yes,
right?
You can feel the energy. Tell me your thoughts on this.
I mean, I love it. I love it. It's nice to see, you know, the good guys taking a win for once. You know, it's interesting to see, you know, it's like butterflies flapping in the wind. And yes, this is my this week's cocaine comment. But you know, the chaos theory, right? The butterfly wings flapping in the wind on one side of the globe, and then it affecting, creating a tsunami on the other side of the globe. It's that these things, while we talk every single episode about ransomware this and malicious actor that and something else breached, it's nice to see some efforts by law enforcement actually creating positive flow, right? Going in the right direction. And yes, I'm going to hear somebody bring us back to reality. It's a tiny drop in the bucket, and it's, you know, it's only one thing. I don't care. A win is a win is a win. You only got to win the Super Bowl once. It doesn't matter. And if you need a reference on that, 1973 Dolphins. That's all I'm saying. So...
Oh, that was beautiful. Not, you know, you just screams vindictive. Like, I'm really hoping that I don't do it. Hey, Tony, remember back in the early 90s when you did the thing to me? Yeah, this is retribution. What? No, tell me. So in all seriousness, I mean, you mentioned an interesting point. It's only $100 million. It's only $100 million. It's only
$100 million. Doesn't matter.
But this could be the action, the keystone to an avalanche of activity that's centralized from our core government agency, the FBI, to get involved and engage and start taking these organizations down. Before it was like, what are you going to do? Hey, here's a phone number. Call us and let us know if we can help. Do you remember that? We talked about that.
We absolutely have.
Now they're like, hey, hold my beer. I got this. And I love that.
You know what it is, though? MSPs don't try to educate their clients on the fact that they have been hacked. They try to educate their clients on the fact that they could be hacked, that they're even likely to be hacked. It's the potentiality that makes it dangerous. Well, you know what? Now we're bringing that potentiality of, we're going to take your money right back to the ransomware people. right? Yes, a $60 million, you know, account freeze would be far more impressive. But you know what? It wasn't $108. So I'll take the $109. It's a win.
Oh my goodness. It just for everyone here who's listening to this and you've been listening to the first 80 episodes of last year, it was, I think it was like $120 or something that you could actually go buy.
Yes.
Buy a hack a company in a box for $120 US. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. And what was done about that? Absolutely nothing. There was a lot of reactive posture. And this is not just reactive. This is proactive. And this is from the top agency from the United States. And this is what is going to set a precedence for future actions. Just my opinion. I'm happy about it.
You know, I want to see Phil link to that story. I think it was ransomware for hire or something to that effect. And then talk about it in the Discord that's also linked below. And then let's have a conversation about it. Let's see what we can do. Boom. There's your Discord banner right there.
Hey, you know what? I know we can't foresee the future of things. I don't know, Ray. Can we predict something?
You know, I may not be able to predict anything, but you know who can? Our good friend Jay McBain over at Canalys. And our top three story in the business section, Canalys Outlook 2023 predictions for the tech industry. For those that don't know, Canalys is a global technology market analyst firm that provides market intelligence, research, and advisory services to technology companies, their suppliers, and their customers. Covers a wide range of tech services, including smartphones, laptops, wearable devices, tablets, software, and cloud services. Canalys' insights and data help technology companies make informed decisions, including market trends, competitive analysis, and sales and marketing strategies. All of that was brought to you by ChatGPT, by the way. I asked them for a description of Canalys. So some of the things in the prediction include, by 2027, subscription, consumption, and as-a-service models will account for less than a third of the global IT market. By contrast, though, it notes that by 2025, cloud marketplaces will grow to over $45 billion, which is double our pre-pandemic forecast, and represents an 84% in CAGR. Networking will become a bigger business than servers for the channel, and demand for greater IT efficiency will see sustainability move further up in corporate agendas. The full article and all of the predictions are linked in the show notes below. Tony, I want to talk to you about Marketplace, though, because we've talked about it on the CompTIA CDAC. We've talked about it privately, you know, and discussing the channel and what's happening. Canalys seems very bullish on the subject of marketplaces, but we haven't seen them hit the MSP landscape yet. Why? Why is that?
I may know something about marketplaces.
You have a little background here, right? You have a little experience in this space.
Maybe. You know, it's specific to the marketplace. Let's be very clear about the marketplace and what everyone considers a marketplace to be. A marketplace is nothing more than a mechanism to facilitate a transaction. Therein lies the problem, because it is purpose built for somebody to click purchase. The value of the marketplace, poof, it's gone. It evaporates immediately once that purchase takes place. It does nothing for the very one third of the hosted services applications that are going to be part of the IT community that they just talked about. It does nothing for authentication. It does nothing for user management. It does nothing for license management. You can simply do the procurement portion of that transaction. The new marketplace, a true hosted services distribution platform, allows the management of the end user, possibly the consolidation of the end users. So you don't have John, Cindy, and Steve for Office 365 and John, Cindy, and Steve for Sophos and John, Cindy, and Steve for Dropbox and John, Cindy, and Steve, etc. So average company has 8 to 11 hosted service applications. You don't have, and if you have, let's say, 100 users, you don't have 100 users. You have 800 to 1100 users you have to manage. And attrition is going to cause floating or abandoned licenses. It's a massive security concern. It has a huge monetary value associated to it. Marketplaces are the future. They just haven't figured out how to catch up from the product side to the service side. which ironically opens up a whole nother issue. Name a company that has a hosted services distribution platform that also offers products and does it well and is designed for the MSP and has the ability for the MSP to give a customer-facing interface for complete self-administration. 17% of customers are either onboarding or offboarding. So you need to give them that access during that time. They just haven't figured it out. And these are systemic foundational concerns, but I think the market's catching up quick. They're figuring this out as we go. I could go on and on and on about this. Sorry, Ray, but I love, this is like my religion. This is something I live and breathe.
Well, and I want to pick on your expertise here a little bit because you have had the opportunity to think about these things in great detail, probably more so than I have, undoubtedly more so than I have. But one of the things I wanted to ask you was one of the reasons MSPs are so strongly against having these just pick this, pick that, purchase, go, is because it takes away from the personal touch that the MSPs are bringing, right? It takes away from the one-on-one white glove. I've always been of the opinion that that's not the experience I want to be part of. I don't want to be part of the checkout. I want to be part of the advisement. But how do MSPs, first of all, do you agree with that? Second of all, if you do or don't, why?
I can't agree with it enough. In fact, if you look at what MSPs are doing now, they're becoming less of a managed service provider because they're more of a vendor manager. They're not actually housing it in. They don't have it hosted in-house anymore. They're now being a Sherpa, some would call them a TSP, a technology service provider. Since everybody's selling the same thing, they're getting to know what the customer's needs are. They're less selling the features and functions of the services that are applicable and resellable by anyone. They're now applying the needs to the appropriate mechanisms that are available. And if that particular platform that has hosted services and products doesn't have the ability for the reseller to add in their own secret sauce, not a lot of value there. So that's another missing pillar that's involved in this new marketplace that's coming through the markets. But hey, we could talk about this. I want to hear everyone else's perspective. I feel bad. I'm like, oh, this is my jam.
And for the next hour, we're going to be talking about exactly. No, I will take hours and hours and talk to you about it on Discord, but that's it for this segment. But Tony, you got some notables for us?
I do some really cool stuff. I don't really know. Straight from Axios.com, spyware company NSO Group is trying to make its case in Washington. NSO's Pegasus phone hacking spyware gained widespread attention in 2021 following an investigation from a consortium of news organizations detailing the ways governments have used the tool to spy on journalists, human rights activists, and high-ranking politicians. Unlike typical forms of malware, Pegasus is a zero click, meaning it can sneak into a target's device without even having to click on a malicious phishing link. NSO is now cash flow positive, due mostly to its Western European government customers that use the tool to track down terrorists, child sex abusers, and other criminals. And in my next notable mention from Axios.com, some more Elon Musk news. Elon Musk meets with GOP leaders, including McCarthy, at the U.S. Capitol. Elon Musk met with several GOP congressional leaders this week, including the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Musk tweeted Thursday evening that he met with McCarthy to discuss, quote, ensuring that this platform is fair to both parties. He came to me to wish a happy birthday, said McCarthy, who turned 58 on Thursday. We've been friends for years. Bloomberg reported that McCarthy said no when asked by reporters if the two met to discuss the debt ceiling.
In my first notable mention, researchers discover PlugX malware variant spreading via removable USB devices. Written by Ravi Lakshmanan for the Hacker News. Cybersecurity researchers have uncovered a PlugX example that employs a new method to infect systems via removable USB media. PlugX is a backdoor extensively shared among several Chinese nation-state groups. Researchers found the PlugX sample using a particular Unicode character called non-breaking space, otherwise known as U+00A0, to hide files in a USB device plugged into a workstation. The white space character prevents a Windows operating system from rendering the directory name, thereby concealing it rather than leaving a nameless folder in Explorer. Ultimately, a Windows shortcut file, aka .lnk file, is created in the root folder of the flash drive and used to execute malware from the hidden directory. The shortcut file, for its part, carries the same name as that of the USB device and appears as a drive icon when the existing files or directories on the root of the removable device move to a hidden folder created inside the shortcut folder. Whenever the shortcut file from the infected USB device is clicked, the PlugX malware launches Windows Explorer and passes the directory path as a parameter, Unit 42 said. This then displays the files on the USB drive from within the hidden directories and also infects the host with the PlugX malware. In my second notable mention, Chinese search giant Baidu to launch ChatGPT-style bot, written by Zhiping Huang for Bloomberg. Baidu Inc. is getting ready to release their own AI chatbot similar to OpenAI's ChatGPT. Baidu is China's largest search engine, and they plan to roll out the chatbot in March. Initially embedding it into main search services, this should provide a conversation-style search result, much like OpenAI's platform. Baidu has spent billions of dollars researching AI over the last several years. Its ERNIE system, a large-scale machine learning model, will be the founding of its upcoming tool. And our resource of the week is a video posted by Nick Ross, Microsoft MVP, and author of YouTube channel T-365, an advisor for Microsoft partners. He lists several changes that are coming up in the next 30 days, 30 to 60 days, including changes to Teams and other Microsoft programs. The link to the video will be listed below. In our community feedback posted on Reddit from user JF Titan says, I like this. Personally, I've wanted to create a sysadmin-like vlog to do dailies and such, just no time. He's referring to our upcoming Boom article on Microsoft products that was taken from Reddit. Well, thanks for the feedback. And on the YouTube, Miles Walker says, haven't got on and seen this new format. Love it. Thanks so much, Miles. We appreciate you. And Kerry Wagner on the YouTube says, exactly. If you aren't a web person, let somebody else do it. And Boston Dynamics equals the T5000. Forget the T1000. I hope you're kidding, because we're all terrified.
There are plenty of upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On February 1st and the 2nd, an in-person event, Channel Pro SMB Forum in Dallas, Texas. Also on February 1st through the 3rd, an in-person event, Zero Trust World, Champions Gate, Florida. And finally, on February 8th through the 9th, an in-person event, Cyber Insurance Bootcamp, presented by Baring McKinley in Chicago, Illinois. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have February 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, The Tech Bar opens its doors again for episode number 51, featuring Tom Lawrence and Brett Chittum of Lawrence Systems. On February 3rd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kyle Jackson of ConnectWise joins Aaron Bolton for episode 9 of 38 at 38. And the MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Hey friends, Wes Spencer here. I wanted to invite you to a really amazing workshop, boot camp, you might even call it. Here's some of the things we're going to cover in this course. Some amazing things like why the cyber insurance market is just changing like crazy. We're going to talk about the things you've got to know as an MSP to be successful at this. Not just helping your clients through it, but building new revenue. So we're going to cover about how you can actually enhance this in your QBR processes, along with samples and examples. We're going to actually role play with you. This is February 8th and 9th. Our registrations are getting full. Register. We want to see you there. It's only $699 to join in. Can't wait to see you. Make sure you register as soon as possible. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane, worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@MSPMediaTV for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, you know, I get it's $109. I'm just crossing my fingers next time it'll be $110. Go for the 110, baby.
Oh, man. Hold on. I just want to point this out. So I'm drinking my little drink. You know what I just got? But you know what I just ordered?
I just ordered an
MSP Dispatch mug. I didn't know there was an MSP. We have an MSP Dispatch. It's awesome too. Everyone's got to have
one. We saw MSP Dispatch tumblers. And then because I am a little extra, I see the delivery address and I put it in Google Maps. No, but this is how Tony is three steps ahead of you on the board, right? So, and you probably don't even remember doing this. I put it on Google Maps.
I know.
And your house is blurred. It's blurred. I had to Google how to do that. So one, I didn't realize that was a possibility. Two, it absolutely makes sense that, you have it done. So of course I went to go do that to my house, but because I live in a gated community, they couldn't get past the gates. So it was okay anyway.
You're automatically blurred. Oh, thank you for noticing that. It's very rare that people actually understand, and it takes a long time to do. It's not a quick, oh, I'll just have it done next week. It takes some time to do it. Maybe they made it easier, but, I did it a long time ago.
And, maybe if they comment down below, we'll take for the opening banter, we'll let you describe how you did it and educate the rest. But we need to hear you ask for it in the chat below or on Discord. But for now, I think that was an excellent episode, brother. I appreciate you.
Amazing. Appreciate you. All of you.
All right. To the rest of the MSP audience, take care of yourselves and each other.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Okay, so what are we doing? I got my notes in. I'm ready.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
All right.
I got to go.
We're just handing each other stuff between the windows. Yeah. So here, I'll give you this.
Oh, wait.
He wasn't ready.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's good. Hey, Ray.
This actually does smell nice. It's a blueberry eraser that my daughter got, and it's just been in here for a week.
Wait, you know what you got to do? You got to hand like scissors over or something. You know,
something
like,
that's very common, and the other person could just be like, oh, hey.
Exactly. Like, there you go. It's like, oh. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get going before Simon gets upset. I see he's giving me the eye already, which means I'll be in trouble. Yeah,
fair enough. I'll stick to editing.
You're on mute. You're on mute. I'm sorry. It makes my heart flutter because when you're talking, you can just see. Just you're in it. You're on. You're in the yellow, man. You're on it. And then there's that exploding noema where your brain reconciles what is actually going on.
Now I could like be a diva and be like, Bill, it's locally recorded. Just use the audio and make it. But I realize you would, and you're good enough that you would probably take my cue and just start talking.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Everything's great.
Yeah. So I guess it's better that you actually told me. Okay. Let me start one more time.
Let's do it.
Senator Josh Hawley. Okay. Senator Josh Hawley, representative of Missouri, wrote a letter to the director of the OMB making several demands, including producing any guidance OMB has circulated pursuant to No TikTok on Government Devices Act. Sorry, spacing is hard.
While it's unlikely that Hive will resurface again, I got to redo that one.
Ultimately, a Windows shortcut link is filed